Good morning. How's everybody? How's everybody else? You all right? I'm excited to be here. Enjoyed the first service. I've not done two services in a while. And so, if I say something twice, I'll think I didn't say it the first time. You just act like you hadn't heard it, okay? Feel it. So I'll say it with emotion both times. You're like, he just said that, actually. I don't know. And I do want to share with you something that's on my heart during worship. I shared this in the first service that when pastor's talking about free worship and you finding your lyrics, finding your song, the thing that still gets me is I gave my life to Christ in 1985. I had to do the math during the first service, 38 years almost. I'm still blown away that I'm saved. Like, I don't have to venture far to just say, thank you for saving me. And it still gets me. Like, it's still, to me, a miracle that I'm saved. So I don't have to get far into, like, gratitude and counting blessings and all. Just, I'm saved. Like, that's a mind blow for Bob. But here's what was on my mind. Felt like it was just on my heart for somebody. You may really be battling that Christ still loves you in spite of yourself. And I don't know if that lands in your heart today. I want to encourage you. I used to share with my church, people would say, I don't feel worth it. And I would say, oh, you're not. You're not worth it. He's deemed you worthy. There's a huge difference. Like when you're trying to like work your way up to, I feel good. I feel, like you got to that place of, okay, I've been to church all year already and you're getting there. It's like, no. That's not what it's on. It is based on he deemed you worthy. He has put worth on you. That he was willing to do anything, inclusive of dying for you, to have a relationship with you. And so if you're battling this whole thing, grace and love and all, like really you got to put your armor down and say, you know what? I've probably told God all the reasons he shouldn't love me, and you may be right. However, he's chosen not to believe you. And he's chosen to love you anyway. And so if that lands on your heart, just find a way to quit wrestling with the love of God. Is that all right? Could we give him one more hand clap of praise today? Amen. And so I'm excited. I'm excited to be here. My family's here. Pastor asked me several months ago to do this message, and I've been chewing on it, praying about it. I texted him probably a few weeks ago about the closing song, and I said, I think this is it, and it just grew in me. And so we're going to talk about kabod, the strengthening your core, this fourth core value, which is really the first core value. Fancy word, but kabod is the presence of God. And we're going to really unravel that a little bit today. But the whole book of the Bible, it all starts with Genesis 1:1, where it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then it goes on to say the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the face of the deep. And then it says this, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the water. Your faith and my faith simply believe this, that God is omnipresent, right? It's a fancy word for just saying God is present everywhere simultaneously. And so as much as I believe he's here, he's right there. He's out in the parking lot. He's down at the beach. He's everywhere. That's our faith. That God is everywhere at all times. There's scripture that says he's an ever-present help in time of trouble. Like you can access him wherever you are. There's another scripture I've loved for years that says he's in your shadow. Like you look down, God is right there. He's with me everywhere I go. And then the psalmist, he said, where can I go to get away from you? He said, if I go to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, you're there. If I go to the sea, you're there. You're everywhere. And yet, The truth is, as much as we believe God is everywhere, we don't always feel God everywhere. And I'll tell you how this works, by the way. The more we interact, the more I feel like we're connected and we can keep going. If I feel like my point didn't make sense, we'll be here longer. Amen? Everybody good now? So we don't always feel God. Amen. All right, good. See, we're good. But there are other times you read in the Bible and you have experience where there's no doubt. God is here. And when you read, like, the experience of Isaiah, like, there are certain people in the Bible that I just think they lived on another level. They had it going on. And Isaiah is one of those. And yet, when Isaiah got in the kibbutz, the presence of God, he said, woe is me. Like, I don't belong here. I am an unclean person. And he fell to the ground, knowing that he shouldn't be in the presence of God. There's another time where, in the Old Testament, it says the high priest, the pastor, couldn't even come in the building because of the kibbutz of God, the presence of God. You talk about a crazy Sunday. That if you got here in the first service, it's still just standing out there, and it's like, whoa, what's going on? I'm not going in there. God's in there. It's like, yeah, well, of course. No, I mean, God is in there. And we read about it to where there are moments that we understand where it's heavy with God. It's real. It's different. It's this place to where you don't know what to do, so you just get still. And know that this presence of God is different than the omnipresence of God. Right. And that's what tapestry, that's what the core value, the foundational principle, core value of tapestry is the kibbutz of God. It's stewardship, creativity, honor, kibbutz. The weighty, manifest presence of God. The weight, the heaviness of his glory. The leave no doubt that God was there belief. That's the core value. And I listened to Pastor's sermon from last year a couple times, and I heard him say this. Last year's talking about kibbutz. And he said, submitting to, celebrating, acknowledging, inviting the manifest presence of God into everything, tapestry. In other words, tapestry wants the kibbutz, the manifest presence of God, to be the DNA of this ministry. That's different than omnipresence. That's like, whoa, that's heavy. The DNA, the makeup, the manifest presence of God to be what shapes and forms. The awe, the splendor, the glory, the majesty of God. And as Pastor already said, the order is kibbutz is the foundation of the four. And then on that, it's honor. And then on that, it's creativity. And then on that, it's stewardship. In other words, one informs the other, but the one that's in control of it all is kibbutz. There's three groups of people in every church. How many of you came from a Pentecostal or charismatic background? How many of you grew up in church but not Pentecostal or charismatic background? How many of you didn't grow up in church and you don't know what flavor you are yet? Yeah, I mean, they're in all churches. A growing church is going to have those three people. And this is part of what gets in the mix of kibbutz. Because I grew up Pentecostal. I grew up in the charismatic stuff. And so as much as we've seen some stuff, like, whoa. We've seen some stuff that, like, whoa, that was crazy. Like times when God didn't even come, but all the people went crazy. Right? I mean, listen. And then, so the next group that didn't grow up in it, they're like, they haven't seen some stuff. They've heard some stuff. Right? And this is part of why we don't want to get in the mix. It's like, no, dude, I've heard some stuff. Oh, okay. And then the ones that didn't grow up with either, you really have the best, I think. Because you can just be like, hey, man, I'm just open to God. I'm just trying to love Jesus, man. And if the Pentecostals get a hold of you, they'll fix you. Anyway, I'm hoping today that by the end, you're open to God having a little more access to you than you were when you walked in today. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for today. Thank you, Father, for letting us be in this room, this sanctuary, God. It's your presence that makes it so, and we want to go beyond the omnipresence, God. We want to know how to encounter you. I pray that you would speak clearly and effectively through me today, God, and that something of eternal value will happen here. We thank you for it in Christ's name. And each of us would say, amen. Anyone here never been to the ocean? Couple people? Yeah, it's crazy, right? Most of us have been to the ocean. My mom, she's passed now, but she had never been to the ocean until she was almost 80 years old. And she went with us to a baptism. Told you. She had never been to the ocean. We did a baptism down at Sandbridge, and the first time she had ever been there was that day. She had been on a cruise, Alaskan cruise, in a boat in the ocean, but never had even touched the ocean before. And for those of us that go down to the ocean, like, there's levels of experience at the ocean, right? Like you can go to the beach and never touch the ocean. You can go watch a sunrise and never touch the ocean. And think about it. How would you describe the ocean to someone who's never been there, like, on what they should experience? And then, of course, there's beyond going to the beach, there's taking a walk on the beach. And that's where you let it touch your toes, right? And you watch the fish go back in the water, sand crabs, you know, fiddlers and all. It's cute, right? But you're still not in the ocean. Like you felt the water, but you didn't feel the ocean yet. You can feel water, like, out of a tap, but that's not the ocean. And then, of course, you can go out a little deeper, and if you go out, like, knee-deep here at Virginia Beach, you can't see the bottom anymore. That's how dirty our water is. But you feel like you're getting there now. It's like, whoa, you know, going out, feeling a little bit. You get a taste of it. And if you get really crazy, you go waist deep. But it takes about waist deep until you start knowing you're in something other than water. You're now in the ocean. And you start feeling it. But you're only waist deep, so if a huge, you know, 40-foot shark comes up, you can run out real quick. You're good. You're still in control, but you can start feeling it a little bit. I would ask my wife every time we go to the beach, you want to go in the water? No. Nah. And it's normally she doesn't want to get her hair wet. But then when you go out further, to here, a vast change is now the ocean has you. You no longer have the ocean. Now it can move you. It can push you back. Now you can appreciate the power of the thing. Tracking with me? And this is different than sitting on the beach and looking at it. You can read all the books you want about the ocean, and until you get in the ocean, you have no idea what the ocean is really about. And this, my friend, is really what I think Kabod is about. God is here. You can read about him in your book all you want. But until you drift out into an experience with God, you'll never know what it's like to have kabod, even though you could sit in a church decades and look at it and yet never experience it. Because here's what messed me up while I was studying this. Kabod is a noun. It's a thing. And yet, the Jews also use it as a verb. You see, it's not the thing of God that I'm afraid of. It's the activity of God that starts making it real. I said this to my wife last night. I said, "Do you realize how great of a wife you are?" All that meant was she started crying a lot. I said, "You're incredible." You see, it's not only who she is, it's what she does. And you can't fall in love only with the who of God. You have to fall in love with the what God does part of him. Because God doesn't want to be this idea, this concept. God wants to be an experience with you. Say amen. That he radically rocks your world from time to time. This is what I think kabod is about, is an invitation for each of us to go deeper into our relationship with God, to where you get to a point to where you know God has you more than you have God. Amen? You see, we believe he's here, right? Say amen. He's here, but no one's ever been rocked by the omnipresence of God because he's everywhere. Like, everywhere I go, just, "What's up with you?" "Oh, I got rocked by the presence." No, that's not what crushes you. What crushes you is the kabod of God. That's what changes you. That's what changes the trajectory of your life, is the kabod. And yet, going back to those three groups, like, some of us are like, "Nah, no, sir." And it's not God we don't trust. It's the activity of others, right? Because I trust God. Here's what Pastor said to me the other day, a couple weeks ago. We were talking about kabod. And he says, "As a Christ follower, I desire kabod." And then he said, "As a pastor, though," he said, "and it intimidates me, it scares me." He said, like he did just earlier today, just keeping it real. And I thought about that. I didn't land where Pastor landed. I thought, as a pastor or a Christ follower, it scares the heck out of me. Because if Isaiah didn't do so good in the presence of God, I don't feel like I'm going to do so good in the presence of God. Because before God wants to work through me in kabod, God wants to work to me in kabod. And often we're seeking God to be used before we're dealing with me in the presence of God. And so I think if and when kabod shows up for Bob, it's going to be my uncleanness. It's going to be like, "Man, what am I doing here in the presence of God?" And whatever he needs to do in that moment, then he can start doing something through me. To, before, through. Everybody good? So, trying to find my notes. Told you I'd get lost. This is where you say amen. It gives me a second. Amen. All right, there you go. Simon Peter, this isn't like, you won't find the word kabod in the scripture, but on the Mount of Transfiguration, he's up there, and really what happened was the flesh of Christ, the humanity, became transparent, right? And Simon Peter saw the glory, the deity of Jesus. And Simon Peter's answer for it all was, like, let's go camping. He's like, put up tents, man. This is awesome. And the thing I get from that is there are going to be times when you're in the presence of God that you don't know what to do. There's not going to be a sequential go here, do this, do this. There's going to be times to where it's like, I don't know. I just know he's here. And I'm afraid of messing it up right now. The high priest, again, the Old Testament tabernacle, they couldn't walk in because of the presence and the activity of God. John in Revelation, he fell at the feet of Christ because of the deity, the glory of God. Numerous times, this is what we read. And so, all of that was an intro to the message. Are you ready? Moses in the Old Testament. I went back and listened to Pastor's message, and months ago I listened to it, and then just the other day, and I was kind of done with the message, but I didn't know we landed on the same passage as Moses in the Old Testament tabernacle and Sinai and all. But I want to read it to you, and we're going to pull out some points from it. And so in Exodus 24, it says, Moses went up to the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain. And we all know who Moses is, right? Charlton Heston, right? I mean, some of you like kind of like Kiss, like, okay, I don't know what that was. Anyway, so. But it says that the glory, guess what root word for glory? Guess what that word is? Say kabod. Now the glory, which is what? The kabod of the Lord rested on Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days, and on the seventh day he calls Moses out of the midst of the cloud. The sight of the kabod of the Lord was like a consuming fire on top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went up into the midst of the cloud, into the mountain, and he was on the mountain for how long? 40 days. We're the ones that went back to the Bible and put in chapter and verse. It wasn't written that way. But here's what we have recorded while Moses was up for 40 days. It's Exodus 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, and 31. All those chapters Moses got while he was up in the kabod, the presence of God. And when you read those chapters, what it is the entire Old Testament sacrificial system. God was saying, sacrifice this, and he told him how big to build the tabernacle, what to build it out of. He told the priest what to wear, what the garment should be, like every detail. Like when you read it, the color of the thread is in that passage. Everything. And so Moses is up here for 40 days, and God gives him what we would call the entire Old Testament sacrificial system in those days. And when he comes down, whether you've read it or seen the movie, you know, he comes down and the people had taken their jewelry and made a false image, and they were worshiping an idol when he came down. And it's kind of humorous, like when you first read that, God's angry. God's ticked off, he's over it, and Moses is like, no, just chill, like, we'll deal with it. These are your people, God. And then when Moses gets down there, he's ticked off. And now God's like, just chill, we'll deal with this. And he walks through this moment where he's trying to figure out who he is with God, who the people are with God. And then God says this to Moses. He says, I want you to leave Sinai. Now remember what Sinai is. That's where Kabod is. And this is what Moses says. He says, if you're not going with us, don't make us leave. He was not willing to leave the presence of God. And he said, I have to know that you're with us. And this is where he then says, show me your glory. Show me your kabod. Show me what was up there is still here. And it said this, that every time when Moses came down, every time he would go in the tent, that the kabod of God would fall on the tent, and all the people, Israel, would stand out and watch because they knew he was in the presence, the activity of God. And through that, God ends up saying, come back up to the mountain. And he does. He goes back up, and this is where now he spends some more time in the kabod of God, and God gives him the second group of Ten Commandments, the second tablets. Anyway, there's one set of Ten Commandments. He gave him twice. And then he says, I want to see your glory. And God says, you can't see my glory. He says, but here's what I'll do. He says, I'll walk by and I'll put my hand over. And as my glory passes and I go past, I'll let you see me walking away from you. But you can't just have those encounters on your own. And so here's a few things I want to leave with you today. God wants you to seek him. God wants to be more than an abstract idea in your life. He doesn't want to be a thing. He wants to be activity of the thing in your life. And if God is only a thing I pray to, but he's not operative in my life, there's a misalignment. God wants to be the kabod and the activity of kabod. Do you follow me? God wants to invite you into powerful experiences with him, but he won't force you into those experiences. He will invite you to Sinai moments, but we still have to say, yeah, I'm going up Sinai. And the thing about it, like, every one of us should have moments, not just one, where you could say, I know exactly where I was, I know what day it was, I know what time it was, where God rocked my world. Those experiences that there's a before and after, like, you're never the same. No one has to validate that for you. Like the day I gave my life to Christ, no one had to tell me Christ had done a work in my life because I knew in my knower that God had done something for me. So I didn't have to go to the pastor and say, you think something happened? It's like something happened nobody could take from me. But that wasn't the only one. Like in the journey with Christ, I've had other kabod moments to where you can mark your clock and it's like, man, good morning. How's everybody? How's everybody else? You all right? I'm excited to be here. Enjoyed the first service. I've not done two services in a while. And so, if I say something twice, I'll think I didn't say it the first time. You just act like you hadn't heard it, okay? Feel it. So I'll say it with emotion both times. You're like, he just said that, actually. I don't know. And I do want to share with you something that's on my heart during worship. I shared this in the first service that when pastor's talking about free worship and you finding your lyrics, finding your song, the thing that still gets me is I gave my life to Christ in 1985. I had to do the math during the first service, 38 years almost. I'm still blown away that I'm saved. Like, I don't have to venture far to just say, thank you for saving me. And it still gets me. Like, it's still, to me, a miracle that I'm saved. So I don't have to get far into, like, gratitude and counting blessings and all. Just, I'm saved. Like, that's a mind blow for Bob. But here's what was on my mind. Felt like it was just on my heart for somebody. You may really be battling that Christ still loves you in spite of yourself. And I don't know, if that lands in your heart today, I want to encourage you. I used to share with my church, people would say, I don't feel worth it. And I would say, oh, you're not. You're not worth it. He's deemed you worthy. There's a huge difference. Like when you're trying to like work your way up to, I feel good. I feel, you know, like you got to that place of, okay, I've been to church all year already and you're getting there. It's like, no. That's not what it's on. It is based on he deemed you worthy. He has put worth on you. That he was willing to do anything, inclusive of dying for you, to have a relationship with you. And so if you're battling this whole thing, grace and love and all, like really you just got, you got to put your armor down and say, you know what? I've probably told God all the reasons he shouldn't love me, and you may be right. However, he's chosen not to believe you. And he's chosen to love you anyway. And so if that lands on your heart, just find a way to quit wrestling with the love of God. Is that all right? Could we give him one more hand clap of praise today? Amen. And so I'm excited. I'm excited to be here. My family's here. Pastor asked me several months ago to do this message, and I've been chewing on it, praying about it. I texted him probably a few weeks ago about the closing song, and I said, I think this is it, and it just grew in me. And so we're going to talk about kabod, the strengthening your core, this fourth core value, which is really the first core value. Fancy word, but kabod is the presence of God, and we're going to really unravel that a little bit today. But the whole book of the Bible, it all starts with Genesis 1:1, where it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then it goes on to say the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the face of the deep. And then it says this, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the water. Your faith and my faith simply believe this, that God is omnipresent, right? It's a fancy word for just saying God is present everywhere simultaneously. And so as much as I believe he's here, he's right there. He's out in the parking lot. He's down at the beach. He's everywhere. That's our faith, that God is everywhere at all times. There's scripture that says he's an ever-present help in time of trouble. Like you can access him wherever you are. There's another scripture I've loved for years that says he's in your shadow. Like you look down, God is right there. He's with me everywhere I go. And then the psalmist, he said, where can I go to get away from you? He said, if I go to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, you're there. If I go to the sea, you're there. You're everywhere. And yet, the truth is, as much as we believe God is everywhere, we don't always feel God everywhere. And I'll tell you how this works, by the way. The more we interact, the more I feel like we're connected and we can keep going. If I feel like my point didn't make sense, we'll be here longer. Amen? Everybody good now? So we don't always feel God. Amen. All right, good. See, we're good. But there are other times you read in the Bible and you have experience where there's no doubt. God is here. And when you read like the experience of Isaiah, like there are certain people in the Bible that I just think they lived on another level. They had it going on. And Isaiah is one of those. And yet when Isaiah got in the kabod, the presence of God, he said, woe is me. Like, I don't belong here. I am an unclean person. And he fell to the ground knowing that he shouldn't be in the presence of God. There's another time where in the Old Testament it says the high priest, the pastor, couldn't even come in the building because of the kabod of God, the presence of God. You talk about a crazy Sunday. That if you got here in the first service, it's still just standing out there, and it's like, whoa, what's going on? I'm not going in there. God's in there. It's like, yeah, well, of course. No, I mean God is in there. And we read about it to where there are moments that we understand where it's heavy with God. It's real. It's different. It's this place to where You don't know what to do, so you just get still and know that this presence of God is different than the omnipresence of God. Right. And that's what tapestry, that's what the core value, the foundational principle, core value of tapestry is the kabod of God. It's stewardship, creativity, honor,